Welcome to the So You Can Relate podcast.
Hi guys.
Hey guys.
Hey guys. Sorry.
Not a devil's awkward laugh.
I've been awkward already, just ignore me.
I have missed you. We have missed you guys.
Honestly.
We were back and then we were not that back, but
at least we tried.
We back now. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to get straight into it. Mm-hmm. So guys, Maverick City. Mm-hmm. I love Maverick City. I listen to them all the time. I love the 12, 16 minute long song. It's definitely my vibe. So I feel like they were coming under fire because people felt like they weren't really representing, I don't know, a form of Christianity, maybe the evangelical church, yeah? So they were under fire about
it. What's the difference between the evangelical church and the Baptist church? Because I don't actually know.
Okay, like, I just feel like evangelical, this is probably wrong, but I think it's just like an umbrella, or maybe I should say like the charismatic church, which is like an umbrella term for like
Pentecostal,
Baptist, like anything that's not Anglican or Catholic. Okay. That's what I think anyway. Okay. So, let's just say whoever likes and listens to Maverick City, because there's probably loads of Catholics and Anglicans that love Maverick, yeah? Mm. They were like, okay, like, you know, maybe I think because they've become almost like recognized even in mainstream circles, like working with like Justin Bieber and a lot of like artists that don't do gospel, yeah. People feel a way. And they're like obviously on the Grammys and stuff, but there's also a lot of other gospel artists that go to the Grammys and these events and whatever. Cool. So I've been defending them because I love Maverick and I just don't really see anything wrong with what they've been doing. The other day I see a video and they're on some like award show with P. Diddy and Faith Evans, and they're Evans, oh my God.
Evans.
Evans, right?
Yeah.
And they're singing on that morning and this life, you know, I'll be missing.
Oh, I'll be missing you.
Yeah, okay. Basically, yeah, it goes into a bridge of a gospel song. Uh-huh. And it was just so awkward. Like, they were all in these black shades, yeah, coming out of the woodwork singing. And it was like, well, did they have to do that? Did they have to do that Maverick City, like, P. Diddy combo? Like, I feel like it's just not within their brand.
Interesting.
And I get it that like that Missing You song is just like almost they try to do like a gospel kind of element to it in the song, but is it every gig you have to take?
So was it like a one-off performance? Like,
yeah, it was like an award show.
So it was P. Diddy and Faith Evans singing and then Maverick City came out of woodwork.
Yes. Okay. It was the shades for me. And you know what? I tried to look okay in the shades, but Naomi Rain in the shades, I said, girl, take them off.
Was it just like, was it the whole choir?
It was the whole choir. I wish you saw the video because it was actually so awkward to watch. Yeah, it was awkward.
It's interesting you say that because yesterday there's a TikTok that I watched half of it and then I scroll past because I just get bored on TikTok nowadays, whatever.
Yeah.
And it started off with a video of someone mashing up, what song by Beyonce? A song from her new album. It might have been Heated or just one of those songs. And they mashed up with a Maverick City song.
Right, yeah.
And Maverick City put it on their story. So people were thinking, oh my gosh, it's Beyonce collabing with Maverick City. What the hell? Anyway, turns out this just came from a random person who mashed it up together, posted it, tagged them, and they put it on their story. Mm-hmm. But Christians and this one TikToker were like absolutely outraged that you're co-signing such music or such an artist, especially because of people saying that Beyonce is anti-Christian now or has always been or whatever, and that her new album is evil or whatever. I don't know if you saw all of the backlash from Christians because of her album.
Yeah, like I personally haven't listened to her album because I'm more of an old school Beyonce fan. Like I liked it when she was singing Love on Top and Countdown, and that's the era of Beyonce I liked, and I just don't enjoy her new sound now. I won't lie to you that I've taken in her new album because I literally haven't. Like, I heard Break My Soul and it was just very like techno, like, you won't break my soul. Like, no, it was not my vibe. So I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna take the album in. But I heard about the Church Girl song. Have you listened to it?
Yes, I listened to the whole album.
Okay.
At first, when I heard Break My Soul, I didn't really care for the new sound that I knew she was gonna come with, because I feel like ever since she dropped her album Beyonce, she seems to be, or she is a ride, a, a wave rider, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
She's got a really good team around her that's able to anticipate what's coming up next and what's going to be big. And she makes music that goes with that theme. You know what I mean?
I feel like her fans don't even like this new album.
Oh, they love it.
Really?
People love this album.
You're joking.
Some are arguing that it's her best album yet. It's all the dance beats.
Am I just under a rock or something?
I think you're just not exposed to the side of people who really
like her,
who really like her. And I guess I am, not because I'm a big fan of her myself, but I guess I follow people or whatever on Twitter who absolutely love her music. So I'm seeing like a positive side of it. So when I heard Break My Soul, I was like, yeah, she did what she had to do for this genre, but it doesn't really feel authentic because we're used to the R&B independent woman, on top Beyonce.
I like R&B Beyonce.
Yeah, same. That's what I prefer. But as for does she execute these genres well, she does. Like trap music, 7-Eleven, that was really good. Lemonade, that was really good. Whatever, feminism, all of that. Like every time she drops a new album, like it does well for the genre that she's putting herself into. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so the whole album is just dance beats, house, techno, whatever. Really does throw back to like 90s, 80s house music made by like popular black artist or whatever, and it kind of helps black people to reclaim house because everyone thinks it's house for white people, but it actually was made by black people. Anyway, so that aside, Church Girl is like a song of the
So what is it? What does the song actually say?
She's basically saying that church girls need to let it loose and drop it like a thought.
Drop it like it's hot. Yeah?
No, yeah, let me listen. Let me find the lyrics really quickly.
Oh, man.
I'll even read them out for you. You know,
Read them out. You let me know what you think.
Like, I got why Christians were like, yeah, but you know those Christians that go like, oh, Beyonce is the devil himself.
Beyonce is the, you know what? I don't really ride that wave strong. Would I say that, you know? Beyonce, how do I put it? I think, do you know what? I think it's one of two things. Either she is involved in some sort of dark world activity, or she's playing up to the fact that people think she is. And she plays up to it in her music. Because she has a lot of weird imagery in her music. Her videos are weird. Remember that video where she's like underwater saying this weird poem? It was not for this album, it was for the last album.
Oh, the one where she's talking about like heartbreak and all of those things.
Yeah, and it was really like some of the things she was saying was very disturbing. And this whole like Sasha Fierce persona, and
I never listened to that album, to be honest with you. Like I just know
I think it was the Lemonade album.
Yeah, it was Lemonade.
Yeah.
And it was talking about her being cheated on and things, and it was a lot of poetry and spoken word and that. But I didn't actually know the words she used.
She was like, I drenched my head in water for however many days. It was basically what she was saying was some sort of ritual that she did. Explaining that ritual that she did.
Oh, really?
Whether it was like,
so it wasn't symbolic,
something she actually did. There was a lot of symbolism in it as well, like in the video. So I do understand why people feel like, okay, maybe she's involved in some, you know, activities, extracurricular activities.
Extra credit.
But then again, I really don't take her in that much. And I just take everything with a pinch of salt with these things, you know.
But let me explain to you now. You tell me what you think of these lyrics. I don't think they're that bad.
Okay.
But the fact that it's called Church Girl itself.
Yeah.
Implies she's that the fact that she's addressing
it's a message certain, to them,
you know what I mean. So I've been up, I've been down, feel like I moved mountains, got friends that cried fountains. I'm warning everybody, as soon as I get in this party, I'm gonna let go of this body. I'm gonna love on me, nobody can judge me but me. I was born free. Now people have an issue with that, or Christians do, because nobody can judge you but God can,
right?
You know, so it's like, why is she making herself God?
Okay,
that's one issue they had. Drop it like a thought, drop it like a thought. Like, this is the bridge of the song. And now I said perfect, like I thought, you blah, blah, blah. You bad. Church girls acting loose. Bad girls acting snotty. You bad. Let it go, girl. Let it go, girl. Let it out. Twerk that ass like you came up from the south, girl. Like, she's basically telling her. Telling
let loose, girls, let it go now.
Let loose, twerk, drop it, like, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
Bad girl acting naughty. Church girl, don't hurt. Church girl, don't hurt nobody. And the church girls are pissed because they don't want Beyonce to tell them what to do. They don't like this idea that Beyonce thinks that they're all like rigid and they need to be set free by her.
That's the thing. Like, I think a lot of people feel like church girls, let's say, are really just trapped, right? Mm-hmm. They don't want to be this way, but they're trapped. It's an indoctrination. I'll have conversations with people and I can tell, based on some of the decisions I make about my life, they feel like I'm just making it because I'm indoctrinated, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get why someone will be like, I actually enjoy this lifestyle that I've chosen.
Mm.
I like enjoy being intentional with faith, and I don't want to let it loose. And that might be freedom for you, but that's not freedom for me.
Yeah,
because I found freedom where I am. So I get why people wouldn't like it.
Yeah. So that is one of the main reasons why people thought that Maverick City reposting this Beyonce mashup was absolutely distasteful.
Was the mashup of the Church Girl song or a different song?
No, a different song altogether, but it was still a song from that album, and it was still from Beyonce in this day and age.
Yeah, people are not happy with Maverick because they're really toeing the line. Like,
yeah, they're not happy with it, and it's giving Kirk Franklin. There's always going to be a group of Christians who do a complete U-turn whenever a gospel artist starts making music with people in the secular world.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be another group of Christians who really don't think it's that deep.
Exactly. I think I lean more to it's not that deep.
Yeah, same.
Than, oh my gosh, how can you do a song with a secular artist? Like, yeah. But at the same time, I do think that you do have to kind of be like mindful of what you're endorsing. Like, obviously, if someone's putting out music that is, I'm not saying Beyonce is doing this, but let's say you want to work with an artist that's putting out music that is literally contrary to the gospel, that's weird. Like, why would you do that? But you know what's funny? There's another guy in Maverick, I think his name is Dante Bo or something.
Yeah, Dante.
And he must have been like at an award show, and they were like to him, oh, who are you looking forward to seeing? Or like, who would you really want to win a Grammy? A question like that. And he must have said he's really looking forward to seeing Nas. The church was up in arms.
Oh, please.
They said, not Nas, dressed as the devil. Remember that song he did where he was literally like dressing up as the devil and he was pregnant and it was really weird. What was the song called? We even spoke about it on the pod.
Did we?
Yeah.
Nas.
Nas, is it Lil Nas?
Oh, Lil Nas. Sorry, Lil I was thinking of Nas from the 90s.
No, I love Nas from the 90s.
That's what I was confused.
Lil Nas.
Okay. I get why the church is mad.
Yeah. He's weird though, really? Of all the people you'd like, come on.
Yeah, I feel like even if he, sometimes it's like the responsibility you have as like a public figure, as a Christian, even if that's your opinion, sometimes just don't say it because you're going to really annoy a lot of people. Yeah. And because of the thing that you represent, i.e. Maverick City, it's going to get blown out of proportion.
I know, right? So that didn't go down the tree.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that. Like, if Lil Nas is who you want to see, fair enough. Maybe just don't say it on the interview.
Yeah, let's not. Let's be like, I really want to see CC Winans.
Yeah.
Just really want to
give glory tonight.
Give glory to God, you know. But people would say that, like, well, so Christians can't be authentic now.
I mean, I feel like there's a responsibility you have when you're in the limelight, and that's just the price you pay for fame and everything like that.
Yeah.
You can be authentic, but I feel like when you're famous, you can't be as authentic in every single space. I think I can be authentic because I'm a devil from Dagenham. I can do whatever the hell I want to do.
Yeah.
If I'm Dante Bo in LA from Maverick City, I'm going to be a bit less authentic when I'm on camera. Sorry.
Yeah. And that's just the way it is. It boils down to there being a cost. Like, even when you're in leadership, because I remember when we were in leadership.
Oh, yeah.
Way back when, all those years back, there was, you do have to think twice.
Oh yeah,
because it's not just, and that's why I do say to people, leadership is a great way for some people's faith to grow, because it's not just about me, it's about me and the other people that I'm influencing. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with Maverick. As soon as you are getting into any position of influence, it might even just be doing a Bible study for four people. I'm not saying, oh, now you can't be authentic. But you are thinking twice about things you do, decisions you make. And I remember like us having a lot of conversation around that of like almost feeling like, oh, I really want to do this, but
maybe I shouldn't. And sometimes we deliberated it and we still went ahead and did it.
99.9.
Let's not forget that. But I think as the journey like went on,
then I will say that as the journey went on, sometimes desires change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like you don't necessarily feel like you're losing out anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's when that's the evidence of a real change in your life as a result of the leadership that you are, if you get what I mean.
100%.
So yeah.
So how did you find out the Queen died? Sorry for those that don't know yet, but come on now, I really should know.
Queen Elizabeth II. Well, I'm a journalist, so I'm pretty much was pretty much in the thick of it.
Okay.
So, okay, not when she died. By the time she died, I was actually home because I was working 8 to 4 and they announced it on BBC around like 6:30. But I never, so I was working on video programming because that's what I'm doing this month, right?
Yeah.
And my supervisor was next to me and I was like paying attention to what I was doing on my screens or whatever. And then this important guy in the office comes over to her and says, so-and-so is not dead. And I was thinking, who isn't dead? Yeah. And she was, and he said it twice with like a lot of like concern in his eyes. Okay. And I was like, okay, I didn't hear what he said. And then when he walked away, she was like to me, did you hear him? And I was like, yeah, what he said.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't being too attentive or whatever. And then a few minutes later, then I got like an email alert, which is how you find out the news basically before we publish it as like a whatever. Email alert was saying, oh, the Queen is under medical supervision, under the advice of her doctors, basically.
Okay.
The moment that happened, the newsroom was, you know, it shifted. There was a shift in the atmosphere.
Oh, really?
There were literally meetings going on around me talking about, oh, do we have her obituary ready? Do we have the video edited for this? Do we have the story ready for when she dies?
God, yeah.
Like literally they're preparing for this.
Yeah.
When Prince Philip, was it Prince Philip? Yeah, when he died last year, all these news publications have the obituaries locked and loaded.
Ready.
Articles, stories, features, columns, everything ready for, just say go, she's dead, publish basically for everything, or pace yourself over the next few days to do all of these things.
Yeah.
So they began to like prepare, like update all of the videos that we have that might have a development between now and the last time it was edited, the last time she had a health scare, all of those things. So I was thinking, okay, it's getting a bit tense.
Yeah.
Just kept trying to do my job thinking, okay, whatever, whatever. 4 o'clock rolls around and I just go home, but I'm starting to feel a bit on edge because I know that this announcement, or they say this announcement they made at that point, was different from the other ones of, oh, the Queen isn't doing too well. This one.
What made it different?
So it was like, the doctors are concerned for her health.
Okay.
She's been advised to be under medical supervision and they're advising her family to come to the castle right about now.
Oh, okay.
So those, they had done that before.
No, the last one is the last one for me. You better get
They said, get your way.
Get back now.
It was different this time. Okay. That's why everyone was like, okay, usually it's like, oh, the Queen has mobility issues, or
okay,
the Queen needs to rest. This one was like, she's ill, they're concerned, come to your grandma's bedside.
Yeah.
So everyone's thinking, okay, we think she's about to die. Oh my God.
She can go now.
So I get home at this point, it's like 6 or something, and then I'm upstairs and I'm like, I'm on Twitter. It's weird because working in the world of journalism, at least from my standpoint, is very objective. What is the news? Let's say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on social media and you see how people are interacting with this news, people who are actually receiving this from your publication.
Yeah.
I'm on Black Twitter, so I saw a lot of jubilation. A lot of people gearing up to dance, you know what I mean?
But
I
was very awkward.
It was interesting just to see. To be on the side of, here's how we're getting it out there, and to be on the side of, here's how people are receiving it, whatever. So 6:30 comes around and I come downstairs, and literally just by chance, my dad and my uncle are watching TV. It was like a race. I don't remember which athlete's race it was, whatever, like a qualifying thing for the Olympics, something like that. And they interrupted it as they said they would when the Queen dies. News report on BBC. And then you go to Hugh Edwards on BBC, I believe it was. And his eyes look like he's just been crying. He looks to the camera.
Oh my God.
He's like... he breathes. I don't remember his exact words, but blah blah blah, the Queen has died. She died this afternoon in Balmoral Castle, blah blah blah. And it's funny because when we got the alert saying she has she's under medical supervision, that was the afternoon. So everybody for those few hours were like, oh, she's definitely died. But obviously I wasn't going to be like, yeah, because we don't have the proof of that.
Yeah.
So I was still saying, well, she's
alive. They need to prepare as well, plan, put things.
Exactly. She's dead. Everyone come now. You know what I mean? So I guess at the time they said she's under supervision, she had probably passed away because that was the afternoon.
Yeah.
About 4 or 5 hours later, they now announced she passed away this afternoon. She's now dead or whatever. And then the BBC had this like obviously very dramatic like fanfare of God Save the Queen, and like a zooming in of her like sitting on the throne when she was probably like, I don't know,
oh my God,
50 or something like that, just sitting down looking all regal or whatever with all of those stolen jewels. I was thinking, damn, she's dead. I didn't expect myself to feel sad. I think I felt sad because I knew work was gonna get crazy. And like, as much as I don't support the monarchy in any way, shape or form, it is very weird to have like this constant thing that you've always known in the
and
background.
It suddenly doesn't exist.
Like one of the most recognizable figures in the world, one of the, they say she's like the most pictured or most photographed or something like that person in history.
Wow.
No one's had their face printed on money more than her. Like all of those records because she's been alive and she's reigned for so long.
Yeah.
So all of those things to the back of your mind, the coins we have in our hands have always had the Queen's head on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So pressing all of that information, like a big fat change, 2 days after we got a new prime minister, and we're just about finishing covering that in the news. That's what made me feel a bit weird the next morning. I was like, what happened last night? Oh yeah, the Queen died. I feel kind of sad.
She's gone.
Yeah, I think it was just like this loss of a continuity somewhere in life.
I hear that.
And despite the absolute storm that my life is right now, that's when I was like, yeah, God is the only thing that's constant. I get it now.
Let's take it back to Jesus.
I said, I'm going to run back to the cross. Right now. It suddenly made me feel even more grateful for God, because we feel a lot of pain and sadness when we lose something in life. Nothing is forever. Nothing is eternal.
It's always temporary.
Everything is fleeting.
Yeah.
And when you realize that and you become sad, you can find joy in realizing that God is the only thing that is constant.
Yeah.
I have a reason to be happy, to feel joy, to feel okay. So that's the conclusion I came to the next morning. When I got to work, it wasn't as crazy because it was like the news had broken and I wasn't there when it broke. So it was just like picking up the pieces, covering what's happening today, whatever, whatever. And yeah, that's how I found out. How'd you find out?
Random thought when you were saying all of that. You know when you said how the black screen came and it panned out to the Queen, God Save the Queen and all of that? You know when you, have you ever seen like clips from the coronation and she's sitting on the throne with, you know, her crown on and that? I don't even know what they call that thing. Yeah. Anyway, and the background is red. It's really, there's something scary about it. There's something like horror-like about it.
About what and exactly? Like the image of
the
her?
The imagery and it's the colours.
Of what?
The red colours.
As in of her, like, on her coronation when she's on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird. Like, I was looking at it too.
I don't know how to, there's something eerie about it.
I think I found, maybe I'll find the picture for you, show you later, the actual image.
Yeah.
The image of her sitting on that throne, I don't know if it was a picture or just a very, very, very good painting, I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
That was kind of bone chilling.
Yeah.
But maybe because I knew it's because she had died. But when I see the images, it was weird. I was like, she doesn't even look that young anymore. That last picture of her, did you see it? The last picture
when
of her.
When she's shaking the hand of Liz Truss.
Yeah, like she was frail and everything.
Yeah.
The pictures, the images of her or the videos of her on her coronation.
This is when she was like 27.
Yeah, she was like 25.
Yeah.
I hate how beautiful I find it because I know that everything there was stolen.
Yeah.
But it looked, I can't get over how beautiful that coronation was. But it is also like.
No, I'm so sorry. The red colours and the way she sits on the throne. And it's just, there's something
weird.
Off.
It's like weird. Yeah. It's like, I find it like. What's that word to use? It's the way I feel when I see Burna Boy. It's like
it's like a conflict of.
It's like a nervous excitement. It's like thrilling.
Burna.
There's something about Burna Boy's face. I don't know if I love it. I don't know.
Burna Boy looks scary.
Yeah, but it's exciting.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like a scary excitement.
And you know what? There's an attractiveness in that.
It's, yeah, exactly.
Not the Queen aside. I'm talking about Burna. You look it. Good, but you look a bit. Scary.
Yeah, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I get that.
I'll never stop talking about the way I felt when I went to Burna Boy in 2019.
I haven't seen him in real life though, so I don't know. Is it more intense in real life?
Yeah, actually, is it? I don't know. I guess it is more intense in real life because it's not like through your phone screen.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget like how I felt when he came out the mouth of that gorilla beating its chest.
Really.
And he came out on this harness thing and I was thinking, like, what's going on? Anyway, it's weird to compare the Queen to Burna Boy.
We digress.
But it's like it does make me feel very unsettled. It feels weird. It feels too regal, too much like a fairy tale. Like, I cannot believe that people wear crowns like this in real life.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that this red carpet is this plush in real life. I cannot believe that this gold is this real and this shiny.
There's just something off.
And I think maybe it's the fact that it was all stolen. Maybe it's that.
Maybe. And it's the way that they proudly wear it and proudly. It's weird. Yeah, anyway,
I don't know.
I ended up finding out. I was literally just at home prepping for an exam. And then my mum called me and she was like, you know, the Queen has died. And I was, can we talk about the way African parents just drop news? Not to say that, like, I was so attached to the Queen, but they won't even say, oh, have you seen the news or have you heard anything about the Queen? The Queen has died. That's basically how I found out. I was shocked, though. I wasn't, like, completely shell-shocked because, obviously, I heard she was ill. And what made me kind of think, okay, I think she's dying, is I went on Twitter and people were doing memes of when the Queen sees Diana in heaven and all of that. So I was thinking, okay, she's in a very bad state then for people to be doing memes. But I thought, oh, has she already died? And then the caption would say, oh, I hope she gets better, though.
Yeah.
Right? So now my mum tells me and I'm just like, oh, my goodness. And how did I feel? I did feel like, oh, wow, she's, like, gone. Yeah, like, it's crazy.
It's mad, isn't it?
You feel a bit. But then I think that feeling was drowned out by, like, I'm so sorry to say, but like the hilarious content on TikTok.
Yeah.
Seeing African parents reacting to her death.
So what were your parents like?
Oh my gosh. My mom was like, she did feel a bit sad, but nothing dramatic. My mom was just like, oh my God, like I can't believe it, blah, blah. I did not really see my dad's live reaction because I saw him like 2 days later and he was kind of like, oh, like she's old, she had to go.
Yeah.
I saw one Congolese auntie on TikTok. Queenie, Queenie, Queenie. She said, our grandma, my mom. I was like, no, no. They will.
It's too much.
It's a level of exaggeration.
The way my mom shouted when she found, so my mom loves to play, I don't know if you know Yinka Yefele, he's like a Nigerian gospel musician or whatever, like an old school one. She loves playing his music on her way home from work.
Yeah.
The point that you can hear it when she's driving into the, pulling up her car. She's even dancing and stuff like that. So she came home like 10 minutes after the BBC announced it. She knew that that she was ill. She came home dancing. You could hear the bass from the car she was pulling up. And she's such a, like, a frantic mover. So she comes in with shopping bags, walks past the TV saying the Queen has died, goes to the kitchen, walks past it again, like in a frenzy, just in her own world.
Yeah.
And then she stops and she looks at the TV. The way she shouted, I said, I have to hey!
Oh my God.
Me and my sister had to walk away because we just.
Aye.
So girl.
She was shocked.
She was so. She's like, oh my gosh, she died. Oh, she called her Mama Charlie.
Prince Charles. No, that's the first one I've heard. Mama Charlie.
Mom, you're doing too much.
I think it's crazy because she's been a constant, not just for us, but for our parents. For them too.
Everyone since her coronation, which is many people in this world, have only known the Queen.
Yeah.
That's why it's affecting so many people.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my sister about like why it affects African parents so much. And she was like, well, obviously we've got colonization and when they were growing up, the empire was like a kind of a good thing, or they were guided towards it as like a privilege, or like, you know, let's all speak the Queen's English. But aside from that, in our own cultures, there's a lot of reverence for the elderly. And they have a lot of respect for people in their communities that are older than them.
Right, exactly.
So I think to some extent, along with like us being Christians or whatever, you kind of mix that all together and it's like, well, why wouldn't I care about the Queen? Why shouldn't I care about the Queen?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they have their younger generation be like, oh, we don't care, let's party or whatever. And they think it's just extremely disrespectful, you know?
I want to know what happened to our 10 days of mourning.
Oh, we're still mourning. We just have to keep going. It's not like 10 days of bank holiday.
You've got to mourn and go to work.
Yeah.
That ain't real mourning.
They won't let the economy flop like that.
They actually weren't. I was under the impression that like, maybe not 10 whole days of bank holiday, but I thought at least more than one.
I think they, I don't know if it's true, but I saw a notification yesterday saying that the funeral day will be a bank holiday.
Yeah, no, that is. It's the only one though.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's going to be a bank holiday from now on. If so, I'll be great because we don't get any bank holidays after August, so it would be nice to have one in autumn.
I don't think so.
No,
I think it's just a one-off, honestly.
Yeah, it might just be a one-off, and God knows how many services will still be closed that day anyway because it's the funeral. So
I don't know. Anyway,
r.i.p queen elizabeth.
R.i.p. man.
You know what annoys me the most though? It's like we don't get a female monarch until
not in our lifetime.
Not in my lifetime.
Yeah. Well, I had 23 years of Lizzie, so that's enough for me.
I saw this TikTok yesterday. This person found a book or was reading this book about like predictions for like terrible things happening in the world. And it predicted her dying on the day that she died.
On the day?
Yeah. And it had like a contents page saying 2022, 2000 and this, 2000 that. Each year, here's what's going to happen. Here's the bad that's going to happen.
But there were actually quite a few videos I saw on TikTok of like people prophesying her death.
It's weird.
But then I think like, okay, there's probably people that actually did hear from God and know she was gonna die. Fine.
I just gotta tell them. But she's also. That's
fine. I just want to tell you a secret.
You keep a secret.
But I do also think that she was an old woman.
Yeah, she was 96. I mean,
and she was gonna die.
She lived probably one of the best lives she could have ever lived.
Yeah, and they be living long. Her mom lived to 101.
Really?
Yeah. Her mom literally just died, like, 2002.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Her husband lived quite long.
Yeah, her husband 99. Was on his way out for a while.
He been looking dead. Like, that man looked like he was on his last leg for, like, at least the last 10 years. And then, they all live really long.
Yeah, so I'm not like, one thing I've tried to do a lot is tried to celebrate a life rather than mourn it.
Especially 85
especially
plus.
When it's old people.
Yeah, come on.
Like, I say it all the time, like, I'm even ready to go now, to be honest with you. Not in that way, like, I'm not going to do it myself.
Girl.
But in essence, like, I've kind of put effort into no longer fearing death, because I just don't want to be scared of something else. There's so many other things to be scared of. And I tell myself that when I'm dead, I doubt I'll even know that I'm dead.
You won't.
I don't know. Maybe you're like, maybe I won't mind. Maybe
I'd never think. Do you know one thing I never think about is my own death?
Really?
Never. Like, never ever.
See, but have you thought about the way you would like to die? Like, what's the ideal way to die?
I've never thought about that. I've never thought about my death. It's weird, right? Mm. I never think about, like,
I wouldn't say
my
it's weird.
Ideal way.
I feel like the ideal way, I ask that because most people say I just, peacefully in my sleep.
Yeah.
I'd like to die like that too.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, do you want to get shot in the head? I feel like peaceful passing away is the best way. Because you hope you feel as little pain as possible. Hopefully.
No, one thing I want is I want people to be screeching at my funeral. Like, I saw a TikTok, yeah. Of this guy called PK Humble, and he was like, you're gonna have to loud the volume at my funeral. You're gonna have to loud it. And people were like stitching it and like acting like how they would act. You need to be screaming from your soul. Mm. You know, I don't want none of this, oh, you know, it's fine, you know, we just bless God. No.
Just bless God for her life. What do you think about people having celebration of life parties while you're alive? As in, like, the things you would say at my funeral, say this at this event I've organised.
I don't think they need to make it morbid by saying celebration of life. I feel like if someone's turning 80, do something nice and say the things you would say. If some, even 60, even 45.
What,
like,
about 24?
24, like, I think, honestly, every year, that's why I always tell people, like, your birthday, celebrate, because it's by the grace of God that you've made it to this new year. Like, true. I don't think it should be viewed as like, oh, by the way thing, like, celebrate, because life is here and then it's gone. Like, it trust me, like, I don't even want to make this pod morbid, but literally the amount of, like, people I've just had the craziest stories about, people are dying.
It's really sad.
So be grateful and just spend time with the people that you love and enjoy yourself and use those birthdays, weddings, graduations to just tell people how you really feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to hear it. I want to hear what people think of me. Look, I don't, because I can't hear it when I'm dead.
You will listen when you're dead.
maybe I'm vain, but I'd like to know what you like about me while I'm still here.
Yeah.
While I can hear it.
I do. I'm a words of affirmation gal. So,
you know, on that note, it's literally in the past couple of weeks that I realized I'm a words of affirmation person. Like, I'm turning into one. I never used to be one.
Yeah, I love
used to
words.
Literally say, I like quality time and physical touch. The other three interchangeable, I don't really care.
Yeah.
But words of affirmation, she's running up to third place. real fast.
I think to a certain extent everyone does. Like, how can you hate someone saying something positive about you? You would be weird. Like, but obviously it means a lot to certain people more than others. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, did you go to carnival?
No, ma'am.
Why?
I just didn't have an interest in doing.
Have you been before, by the way?
No, I haven't. And I would have gone in 2020 and I would have gone last year if it wasn't for the pandemic. Because before that, I hadn't gone. And my friends had gone and they said it was a good time. So I was ready and raring to go. But obviously, got cancelled 2 years in a row. This year came around. I just didn't really want to. I was literally scared of, I had an image in my mind of somebody with monkeypox on their leg rubbing against mine and giving it to me. And I was like, I don't think I should. Yeah. Like, I'm still clinically vulnerable. I think I always will be in a pandemic. So.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't. Like, I have been in a crowd since then, but something about carnival and the proximity of bodies.
Because you went to Tiana Taylor, innit?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
How do you find it?
It was okay. I gave it a solid 5 out of 10.
Oh, that is not good.
But that's only because I left, or the three of us left, like, I don't know, maybe halfway into the show because it was super late or whatever. But got there, like, the doors opened at 7. We got there just before 9, and that was like a few minutes before she came onto stage.
Okay.
And then we left just before 10, so we were there for like an hour basically. I don't know, I just feel like I was a bit too Christian for that show. Was something
really,
I'm a bit too saved there. I don't know what it was.
Good, so detail.
She was doing a lot, like, it was a lot of performing, like a lot of dancing, because she loves to dance. I feel like she's a dancer before she's even a singer. She's an amazing dancer.
Okay.
When she came out, she was dancing. I was like, oh, she's so cool. I really like her vibe or whatever. Also, just to let you know, by the like, as at the time that we were going there, the three of us knew collectively about five of her songs.
Okay, I literally only know two of her songs.
Yeah, I say collective, probably even four, but maybe five for luck.
Yeah.
So we were going there knowing that we were already clueless or whatever. We'd paid £36 for the tickets, but I didn't even know we did at the time. Like, I thought it was so much cheaper.
Yeah.
So I didn't know I paid that much. So it made it even more like, no, I have to go now, mm-hmm. even though I felt quite tired. I don't know, man. The dancing was just a bit much for me. Like, you know when they literally turn around and they start moving their bum with their hands?
Oh, my gosh.
It got that far. So she'd just be turning around and moving her bum cheeks. Like, sis, we get it.
Yeah.
There was a whole segment where, like... she had like a two platform stage kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and the top platform had like a bathtub kind of thing or whatever, like a tub thing. She spent like a good like 3 minutes just like grinding in the tub.
Oh no! Okay, that is team too much.
Joyce, I don't know if she's flexible as well, which I found out during the. I can't even do what she did, but I wouldn't want to do that to you. But she literally sat down, and like just opened her legs wide, like V, as in like. If she wasn't wearing pants, you would see
what?
The womb itself. Like, she was wearing pants. Okay. Obviously, she was. But, like, if she wasn't, you would have seen.
You
would have seen right through. Let me put it like that. Like, it was just it was so sexual. And I was like, maybe this is a bit too much for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I do listen to music that can be quite sexual sometimes. And I don't even have problems discussing sexuality. But sometimes seeing people just twerking for a good hour.
Yeah, if it's not your vibe, it's not your vibe.
Literally open your vag to the whole stadium. Everyone's like, woo! I'm like, I can't cheer to this. Like,
yeah.
It was too much. So we were like, And it was just late as well. We had work the next day. So we're like, okay, let's just go.
Yeah.
Because we need to go home, basically.
We
need to leave.
Yeah, no, so I
one of my friends,
that.
She was like, I'm uncomfortable.
Oh, no. And it's so bad because that friend is like on the verge of not going to any worldly
I love how you knew how I was talking about
ever.
I didn't even say
I know exactly what you're talking about.
She's like, I'm uncomfortable, but she didn't say like, oh, can we go, I hate it. It
was
like,
yeah, but it's just that it's getting
it
a bit
light-hearted.
Much
and I was like, yeah, I'm a bit too safe for this one.
Yeah, you know, you gotta, I'm sanctified, you know, we gotta leave.
Yeah, but so I went to Tiana Taylor. It wasn't Carnival, it was a packed space, but Carnival I knew was going to be a lot.
Yeah,
I also had plans that day anyways.
You know what I was going to say about Tiana Taylor, I'll never forget, like, years prior, she did this song called Faded. Have you watched the video of that?
Yeah.
I think one of the... Okay, I'm not someone who watches things and feels a type of way often. I usually, things just go over my head or whatever. This video was so chilling.
And what
way? She's dancing, everything's fine. Her body is gorgeous, like, she looks insane. You know, I didn't really like her type of dancing in the video. I thought it was weird. Like, it was very, like...
Anything to do with Kanye West
is gonna
be weird.
Robotic moves.
Yeah.
What made me feel like this is weird, and I feel like it was symbolism. At the end, her face is normal, and then at the end of the video, they turn her face into like an animalistic face.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
What the hell was that?
I did feel quite unsettled.
I screamed, Defla, to the point that if you put that video on right now, I cannot watch that end part of when her face changes. Why? Mm. Why did your face change?
I just feel like this
was that at the point that you gave your soul away.
I think her involvement with Kanye West and the fact that it was Kanye's song is just incentive for weirdness, first of all.
No, it was really weird, right? And it was scary.
It was scary, but I don't think that symbolism like that is something that the average non-Christian person finds weird.
What does that mean, though? What does it mean? Why would you turn your face and... What animal is it?
Like, animals aren't always seen as... I feel like we're just a bit too African Christian to not see
really?
how you can't find this weird. Because
no, but like, let's say we're not Christian. Her face looks scary.
Yeah, it did. But that was part of the art. It's expression. You know what I mean? The dancing was weird. The song had a certain beat. Like the whole vibe, her face was communicating the vibe of the song itself. And I think the transformation into an animal was like. It's meant to be artistic.
In the artistry. What they were trying to say was she has changed now.
Yeah, but I...
Because you were a human and now you have an animal's face.
Yeah, 100%. But I don't think they say that as a bad thing.
That's when I put a red line under Tiana Taylor. Like, and actually avoided her stuff after that because I was like, okay, she's weird, right?
Let me watch it now because I remember how it looked. I'm not going to show you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying and I also, agree with her. I'm just saying, like, I get what you mean.
I knew her from Tyler Perry movies. So she was in this Tyler Perry movie called... big happy family.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, bye.
That's why
I knew her. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's so funny. Normal black girl. And then after that, saw her in this faded thing, turning into an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And then years, maybe like 2-3 years later, that's when I started listening to her songs. Literally, only know two. Are You Gonna Love Me? Is that the title?
Gonna Love Me, yeah.
Gonna Love Me and Issues / something else. Gonna Love Me is one of my favorite songs. Like, I love.
I remember this.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm watching the video.
Yeah.
Carry on.
I love that song so much. Oh, sorry. I just need to pull up the lyrics of that song because.
Which, Issues?
No, Gonna Love Me.
Are you gonna love me? Yeah, in the end, it's her and her husband actually on a motorbike. She's got like a cat face.
It's a cat?
Yeah, like a cat face. Yeah.
I thought you were going to turn the screen. I was going to start screaming. Anyway, the lyrics say, sometimes we say things that we really don't mean.
Mm-hmm.
We do things in between the lines. We should do more to stand out. I'm sorry if I made you feel less than who you are. A little insecure. You're a shining star.
I want to spend
my nights with you, my life with you, oh baby. Please wait up for me till whenever I get home. That's a love language. Waiting up till whenever I get home. I know that you're all alone thinking about what you're going to do. I hope that you see it through. Are you going to love me?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to hug me in school. Okay, that's enough, Teyana Taylor. But I do love her songs.
Unfortunately, we left before she sang that. Because obviously, it's in the best songs, towards the end. She sang Bear With Me, which I love, like one of her second songs.
It was late though, yeah.
Yeah, but Gonna Love Me and Issues, unfortunately.
She hadn't sung it, yeah.
She hadn't sung them as of the time that we left, but.
Oh yeah, man, but I had a good time. Oh, okay.
So I had good. Like a 50% good time.
Yeah.
At
least you went and you didn't waste your money.
Yeah. I'm still going to a couple concerts in the next month or so, and I know it's not going to be like that.
Who have you got lined up?
I got Lucky Day on October 2nd.
Nice.
And I got Mos Def 5 days later with my sister.
Nice, that's good.
And then I've got another one in November, Pip Miller, actually. So yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to see any of that. So
we just wanted to talk about how Christians were fighting about carnival on TikTok.
Yeah, that's where we started, isn't it?
That's where we started. And I didn't go to carnival because I had exams. And I'm trying to think, if I didn't have exams, would I have... Okay, so I've been to carnival once. I did not love it because it was really, really crowded. I didn't love that. And also, like, the people I went with only wanted to strictly listen to... Bashment, and I know it sounds so silly of me to say that because it's like you're going to carnival, it's Caribbean culture, but I just wanted to go to like other floats playing other types of music. And so yeah, so I just didn't love it so much. And I think I was just there for so long. Carnival is a workout. You walk for hours and hours and hours and hours. So yeah, I don't know, but I think I think it started with this guy. I can't remember his name. He looks to be like 20 years old, and he was basically saying, how could you lot go to carnival when you didn't go to church? How did you think I was not going to pull you lot up on this?
Yeah.
That's what he was trying to say.
That alone was like, sorry, what's your name?
What's your name, sir? And people didn't like it. So people started, and you know what? Christians and non-Christians alike, obviously non-Christians felt like you're disrespecting Caribbean culture. This is a carnival that's been there years before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is just a celebration of Caribbean culture. And then Christians were kind of saying, oh, you didn't say it in love, and you didn't, you know, delivery is everything. And so there were all these different debates. Someone said something that I found quite interesting. Someone said that, first of all, the sentiment of what they were saying was, our generation were too easily offended, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, not everything has to be packaged nicely. Sometimes someone just has to tell you the cold, hard truth.
Mm.
Now, whether the cold, hard truth, if the cold, hard truth is tricky because these things are based on convictions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone will say, no, Joyce, it's not based on conviction because there is, how did I describe it? A presence of sexual immorality.
The spirit of promiscuity.
Exactly. People go to carnival knowing I'm going to catch a wine. People going to go to carnival knowing I'm going to move mad. You see people saying, nah, even if you're in a relationship, carnival's carnival. What happens at carnival stays at carnival. Like, the thought process that I can just do what I like when I go to carnival, everyone's going to want to dance with me. Like, so you see videos of people doing a madness like at carnival, and also like fights breaking out and stuff. So someone, you know, could suggest from that that, oh, like, you know, the environment is just not great. Mm. With that being said, do I think that as a Christian you going to carnival is so horridly bad? No. Sorry. I've gone all around there to say this. No. Do I think that it's the best place for you to be? No, as well. It just boils down to that scripture that everything good may not be beneficial.
Yeah.
Is carnival beneficial to the Christian life? No.
Mm. But is that how you're meant to live, though? Like, is every endeavor and every action you do meant to be beneficial to your Christian life? Or can things just be a thing that you're doing? Like, do you have to assess the benefit of everything you do in terms of your faith?
It makes it sound like, oh, you're so rigid. Like, I've got this concept. I need to assess the beneficial. Obviously, no. And people go there to just have a good time. And and I think that I feel like sometimes, even though it might not be the most beneficial based on what you're going there to do, because there's so many elements of it, definitely. Like, there's also, like, let's say that you're a Christian and you've been evangelizing to people at your workplace, mm-hmm. and you lead a Bible study, and now we see you at carnival bracking your back. it's not making sense. I'm sorry. And that's the reality for me anyway. This is my opinion. I feel like that's the reality of it. I think it's a lot to do with what do you do when you go there. Mm-hmm. I understand why it's different for a lot of Caribbean Christians, because a lot of Caribbean Christians are like, this is my culture. Like, I've been coming here since I was 2 years old. I've been going to the kids' day every single year. I go there to celebrate and enjoy my culture, the colors, the food, the music. I think sometimes as Christians we're too quick to like demonize everything.
Yeah.
But that being said, I do think that there is a lot of like, there is a spirit of promiscuity there. I'm not going to say there isn't. And I know that I'm contradicting myself, but this is how I feel, guys.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably a lot of people that can relate. That being said, I do think that there's a lot of heat when it comes to events of minority groups, because why do Christians not have these same conversations when it comes to Glastonbury?
Mm.
We don't. There's not this whole up in arms debate, and I'm so sorry, but I feel like it's a similar vibes.
I think it's just the overt sexualization of whining on someone. I think it's literally that, because those of Caribbeans will say to you that when you whine with somebody, it's not because you like them, it's not because you want to have sex with them. They say that it's like a dance that has been sexualized, and I don't know, take of that what you wish. But I think with something like Glastonbury, there's probably less whining going on at Glastonbury, but there's a lot of drug intake there. Let me tell you now.
People are high.
People are off their rockers. different planets, different planes, different universes. Brand new experiences. Yeah. And that, you know, all sin is equal, if you want to deem it a sin or whatever, you know what I mean? So I think with Glastonbury, people don't speak out about it because they're not seeing a physical act that has been sexualized and therefore demonized. You know what I mean? But on this, in the breath of like, oh, are they just as bad as each other, quote unquote, then yeah, I agree with you, and you can say they're just as bad as each other. But I think my problem is when like Christians try to project their convictions onto other people.
Yeah, true.
And I think that's also where the argument was, and I agree with you. Like, if you think that, and I agree with you in saying that going to carnival itself is not a bad thing. What you do when you're there matters. Is it going to benefit your Christian life? I mean, in some world it might. I can't tell you how it can.
Even if you're going there to evangelize.
Yeah, exactly. But I think objectively it's not going to benefit your walk with Christ. And if you have a problem with that, then obviously you don't go. On that note, though, there was a church that went to evangelize at carnival.
Probably loads of churches go. That's a thing.
It was like, oh, we saved 16 souls. Sorry. Whenever they give stats, it just makes me laugh. I'm
like trying to win souls.
Trying to win souls tonight. We saved 16. Woo. But yeah, it's weird when like there is one rule for like a certain thing and not for another thing, and the certain thing that there's a rule for is very much relates to culture.
And I think sometimes like we are, as believers or the believers I'm around or exposed to, we're like a hamster going around in a wheel
mm-hmm.
this conversation about carnival happens every single year.
Yeah.
And the only reason that it got even worse this year was because we had a 2-year break because of, you know, COVID and stuff. So I do think sometimes people feel like Christians are so judgmental because we maybe concern ourselves too much with what other people are doing. Do you get what I mean?
Too much.
If you lot see me on a float eating my jerk chicken, because that's the only thing that will ever take me back to carnival.
Yeah.
Two things. Preaching the gospel message of Jesus Christ.
Come on.
And being on a float, I'm not walking in that crowd ever again. Like, if someone was to invite me onto an Afrobeats float, hint, hint, and I can sit down on that bus and eat my jack chicken and enjoy the music, yes, I would love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously I'm not going to go there to do anything crazy. And would it be so beneficial? No, but I like what you said. Like, does that mean that we can't go to parties because it's not beneficial? I can't go to the spa because it's not beneficial. I can't go to the cinema because it's not beneficial, you know?
And that's when you start to reinforce this idea of Christianity being restrictive. Which is something that I've
full always... circle, George yeah. Cal.
Something had to Beyonce's. That's why she made the sock for those of us. Despite how I've been struggling recently, I do understand how these things can reinforce this idea of restriction. And really, it's not. It's just like advice, God-given advice, and the best way for you to live.
Yeah.
Because God is aware of the situations you're going to face on this earth.
Yeah.
So if you feel like it's something you're going to struggle with, then maybe read the Bible and follow what it says, and you know, work out your own salvation.
Come on.
People that come with this approach of, well, you thought I wouldn't catch you. You're 20 years old. I don't even know what your name is.
You know that you thought I wouldn't catch you thing? Is it annoying?
I can't even express the anger.
You thought I wouldn't bring it up.
Sorry, who are you once again?
But I do want to say this, and I saw someone tweet something, and I wholeheartedly agree. It was a video of someone who was so passionate of this mentality of, you thought I wouldn't catch you. And the person literally put on the caption, like, new believer syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, this is what it is. It's weird, and we talk about this because I feel like we've had similar upbringings because we were born and bred in church, and then we kind of chose to be intentional in church. I don't think we have this coming to Christ story or moment that is so like contrary from a lifestyle we used to live. Like, you know that song, Never Going Back to the Way Things Was? I don't really have that. I can maybe say never going back to like lacking intentionality, but I can't remember a time where I was completely out of Christ, right? So people that do have that story, I believe, suffer from new believer syndrome, whereby you're just so on fire. And there's some beauty to it. It's good to be zealous and on fire and really passionate. You found relationship with God. It's amazing. But it does come with a lot of rookie mistakes, and some you just have to extend grace to people like that, because sometimes their delivery will be off. Sometimes it's more of religiosity than love, you know. So, and also it depends on what your ministry is teaching you.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Right thing to do.
That's
people are highly influenced by that.
Exactly. That's going to say, like, what ministries are these people under that they see this as the best approach to this conversation? And I guess it's ministries that are extreme and that would perpetuate such judgment, you know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah,
I wouldn't, like, hopefully you go that high so you can finally come back down and be a normal Christian.
No, and majority of the time you do, people like that do level out.
Yeah.
And you do see them coming off the high horse after a while.
But it makes me wonder, is the requirement to go crazy than to be normal? Or can you ever just be normal from the jump? Can you ever enter Christianity with this astounding understanding of grace and how it's not that deep sometimes?
I think you can if you go to the right church.
I want
to
know what
or you're discipled by the right people.
I want to know what that normal transition feels like from a life of I was lost, I'm found, but I'm not found in a weird ministry.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's like.
Talking about being found in weird ministries, I saw a video of someone saying that, you know how on Twitter and social media platforms, we'll talk about particular churches, and I'm sure names are coming to people's heads, and we'll be like, oh, these men are always calling my phone. They don't leave. They don't stop messaging me. Whenever you see these people at your uni campus, you need to just avoid them. Oh, these lot, when you go to their church, they're bare onto you, they're controlling. These things are real. They're true. And I think that these types of ministries need to take that constructive criticism on board and try to tailor their approaches to better fit the needs and desires of people. That being said, this guy released this video, and I thought it was an interesting take. He said that as believers, because we're actually the ones that do this a lot as well. He was like, we need to stop that. He was like, there is no point of you saying all these horrible things about this ministry hounding you and being controlling and chasing you. That might be someone's gateway into receiving salvation. And now, because you've told them this ministry is like this, and if you get in there, they're going to control you. This person's come to evangelize to them, to bring them the truth, the gospel, which is real, because these people, it's a church, it's Christianity, right? Their heart is going to automatically be hardened to anybody that's trying to tell them about the gospel. And it might not even be that ministry. It might even be a really progressive, amazing ministry. But now, because they think, oh my goodness, if I give them my number, if I say yes, if I give it a second thought and maybe try to open up my heart to this, they're going to control me. I'm going to have to go to services 7-8 times a week. So people are now rejecting the message because we're basically saying, oh, there's this issue. And these issues are real. And it doesn't mean that people should stop like saying that, oh, let's try do better. But I think what he said was real, man. Like, you don't want people to be rejecting the gospel because us Christians do a better job of breaking down other ministries than unbelievers.
I get that, you know. I do get it. I feel like the point you made about the ministries that aren't basically crazy almost suffering as a result of this advice. I do agree with that. And this is an extreme example to compare it to. But what it kind of reminds me of is like, dare I say, rape culture and the whole idea of like, should we tell women to cover up or should we tell men to stop raping women, regardless of what they're wearing? And it's like, the issue is not necessarily telling women, let's stop telling women to cover up. It's like, let's tell men to stop raping women, let's tell men to stop doing, you know, to sexually assaulting people. I think the issue is in this sense, like, we also need to tell the churches themselves, stop being weird about this, so that I would have to say to these 18 year olds, ignore those churches,
right?
Like, what I'm saying is a result of the cause. The cause and the matter of the fact is that these churches are being weird and they're being like forceful and they're putting people off.
That's the word. It's this whole thing of building your evangelism team on the violent taketh by force.
Like,
you will see it. They will tell you, we have to compel. You compel people to. And it's like, oh my God, this is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anyone who is not forceful, if God was forceful, everyone would be a believer right now.
Yeah, exactly. So I do agree with the standpoint of, if we told them to just ignore every single approach they get from a Christian ministry on campus, then how are they going to get access to the word of God?
I get
that approach, because then where would they hear it? There's a much lower chance of them hearing it. But I think the bigger message should be, stop being forceful. TRF was not forced. We hardly even advertised ourselves and we still brought some people to
it. Was, if you know, you know. But people would say that's wrong.
Okay, whatever. That's not what we're talking about right now.
Definitely over you lot that saying that's wrong.
I don't care. People still found their way there. There I say, the people who are meant to be at TRF found themselves there with our three posters on campus here that got taken on every 2 weeks. That was our evangelism. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like it doesn't ever have to be forceful. Even Amy, when she gave a testimony almost a year ago now, that's crazy, talking about how she was just basically approached on campus by these two chirpy girls who were like, hey, you want to come to church? She was like, yeah, sure, why not? Like, it was just by chance. She didn't even have a plan that day to go to a fellowship, but God had a plan for her life. And maybe sometimes we take it upon ourselves a bit too much under the guise of being fishes of men to save all the souls at carnival or save all the souls on campus. But it's like, when God wants to reach somebody, oh, he's going to do so.
Yeah, exactly.
we can't stop him, you know? So yeah, I agree with the approach of, okay, don't tell everyone to say no to these fellowships just in case this is going to be their chance to like see Christ.
Yeah.
But also, my bigger message is to these fellowships, take heed to what people are saying. People are getting weirded out now.
But it seems like this conversation has been going on for, as far as I can say, at least 2 years. And it seems like they're just not taking heed.
Yeah, they're not, because they still have their success cases. They have many success cases, in fact. That's why they're so strong.
And the system works.
It works. Yeah. So they're not going to listen to us on TikTok. Right. They're really not going to.
And you know what? It clearly does work for some people. And I'm not saying this approach doesn't work, but I think using wisdom and discerning that, okay, this person that I'm dealing with didn't really like it that I called them 12 times. you know, and the other person was like, oh yeah, no, you know, you need to call me a lot because obviously I'm never on my phone.
Yeah.
So just being wise into what's working, what's not working mm-hmm. on a case by case basis, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a good episode.
It has. We've been in our bag today.
You're listening to the So You Can Relate podcast.
Not us showing self-love to ourselves.
Who's going to sponsor us, please?
Mm-hmm. You're sponsored by Spotify. I receive it.
Even Apple, anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, let me get my post up. I'm starting to get nervous. My heart's racing. Really? Yeah.
I found your post really interesting. And I was actually wanting to talk to you about it, like, off air as well.
Offline.
But yeah, I guess we can talk about it now.
Okay. I don't know what approach I will take. But okay. Let me tell you guys a little story. Yeah. So I have a blog. It's called somevariables.org, in case you don't know. I try to do blog posts every week. I do not do them every week. It's like every 2 months, if you're lucky. But I released a blog post on August 22nd called Considering God. And it started off with a thought I was having on the train. And most of my posts come from train thoughts because my commute is that long now.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I keep considering God in every decision that I make. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I like that anymore. And I got to this point of frustration as a result of something I started experiencing almost a year ago now. When I started seeing someone who was not a Christian. He came from a Christian home, but he didn't really practice anymore. He had his reasons. One of his main reasons was that his mom had given a lot of money to his church growing up.
Yeah.
And he just didn't like it. It was just giving prosperity gospel. I'm not a fan. He still believed he can be a good and virtuous person outside of Christianity. And I said, yeah. Oh, you can. Yeah, you know, if you want
to. Exactly. Sure.
You know, I do agree with that to some extent. Had other issues going on in my life at the same time. So eventually I stopped seeing him. But part of the reason was because I didn't really feel like it was worth pursuing a relationship with someone who didn't have the same beliefs as me. Like right now it's okay when you're just seeing each other and having fun.
Yeah.
In the long term, you know, it could get a bit crazy. And over the past few episodes, I've definitely expressed like a lot of contention in my faith and a lot of confusion. And it's just not gone any better. And the painful part is growing up, I always knew that battles were going to come.
Yeah.
You know, I always agree with the Bible verse. God said, when the storm comes, when trials come, I'll be with you, whatever, whatever. But you honestly, like, I get it now. You can never anticipate just how long a storm is going to last.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, I would have said that before, but I'd still never experienced such a storm as this. I've never had to go through something this mentally draining for so long. I can't believe it's almost coming up to a year now.
Wow.
That I've just been like, feel like I'm still just spiraling down and down, still getting further away from God, whatever, whatever. And I ended up in a similar situation again in the past few months, seeing somebody who wasn't as the same faith as me. And this time trying to make it work because I didn't really want to lose another good person, because once I ended up with the first person, I was like, okay, I might not do that again because it was really fun. And I feel like I've just started to spiral and question God and question why he does want me to be with somebody. Like, is it that deep, whatever? Mm-hmm. Asking all these questions, getting all these doubts, entertaining them. But entertaining them for my benefit, I realized in the end, it didn't feel like I was having thoughts that were, oh, I shouldn't think like that. God help me. God save me. Please forgive me. Like,
yeah.
I was finally open to exploring exactly what I believed and why, and whether I was happy to believe that. The most recent one kind of hurt even more because I did get in much deeper than the first person, but I still found that it just wasn't really going to work out. And I started to get, and he was a different faith altogether.
Yeah.
And he wasn't practicing, but I don't know if that made it any better or worse. He just wasn't a Christian.
Yeah.
So that breakup was really hard, and it still was very hard. I still think about him all the time, and it still hurts me. But I think what hurts me the most, and what's hurt me throughout the whole situation, is this idea of like, I wish I had the chance to choose God. And we always say there's like two kind of camps of Christians on average, like the ones who even God himself gave birth to you. That's how real he is.
Yeah.
And the ones who was like, oh yeah, there's a God, by the way, when you're 18 on campus, do you want to learn about him?
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like on both sides, there's always envy. The Christians who were born into the church envy those who found God, and those who found God envy the Christians who were born into the church. We all want a piece of each other's pie. It's like, oh, I wish. I'm coming into the camp now of people who are like, I wish I had found God. There's even something I wrote this morning, like on my way to church, and I've been meaning to write it down for a while because it just kept coming to me. Mm-hmm. It's like I began wondering if I'd ever been lost, like really lost. Have I ever been lost enough to warrant being found? Mm-hmm. Was there ever a journey of no direction after which I realized that God was all that I needed? I didn't think so, like not significantly anyway. Mm-hmm. So I decided that I was going to let go and get lost. Perhaps then I would be able to understand what it meant to be found, and I would eventually hate for God to ever let me go, even though he was never going to in the first place.
Yeah.
Like I have this poem called God Won't Let Me Go, and it's about me tussling and turning and fighting.
Like, wrestling with God, yeah.
Like, God, please let me go. Like, let me go. And the idea of that he will never let me go because he made that promise that he won't has started to make me feel restricted. Mm. So it's like I have this idea in my head of if I finally just get lost, then I will be found. And the idea of God ever letting me go would actually invoke fear in me. I'd want to hold on to him that tight for the first time almost ever.
Yeah,
you know. So it's like this journey of feeling very restricted and very confused and like, well, there's a very elective nature to belief. It's like, is there an elective nature? Like, should I have had a choice in believing God? Like, God is as real as my dad, as in I see my dad every day. I speak to him. I interact with him. Yeah. I can't dispute the fact that my dad exists. Mm-hmm. That's how much I believe in God. Mm-hmm. I always say that I could believe in God and not follow his commands, but I can never deny his existence. That's mm-hmm. how much he's been like a non-negotiable in my life. So all of those thoughts have come to a head, and I wrote my blog post called Considering God, and I got a lot of, you know, a lot of good feedback, a lot of people being like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I was kind of nervous to share it because usually I share it on my Instagram story, for example, and then I'll screenshot like a part that I quite like.
Okay.
I'm gonna put it in my story, and that's what hopefully gets people to be curious.
Yeah.
So the part that I posted
probably people were like, I need to read this now.
People were like, what's going on? So I'll read this out quickly as well. I said, it's the end of the post. I said, I feel pain when I think of people who are like me, mm-hmm. getting closer to God while I'm just slipping away. My hands are losing the ability to hold on to anything. They are apprehensive. They have lost all trust. The last prayer in my lungs is for it to make sense to me for the first time authentically. In other words, mm-hmm. I want to fall into understanding with God because I've fallen out of it. And I see people like posting how much closer they're getting to God recently and just basically witnessing a closeness, a journey that's just getting better and better.
Yeah.
While you're doing the opposite of that. It's like, what am I missing? That kind of thing. I had a couple of people pop to me and say like, oh, wow, that was really profound. Like, you don't understand how many people also feel like this.
Yeah.
I had one of my cousins, he messaged me and he was like, you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not. And I've been speaking to him a lot over the past couple of weeks about it as well. Like, he's been provided me a lot of insight into just faith in general and how everything I'm questioning and confused about right now is very normal. He's given me like a new refreshing approach that I definitely needed.
Mm.
I guess I did want to talk about it because it's not an exclusive experience, but mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing for me is like the shock that I'm experiencing it. Like being a TRF leader isn't like the pinnacle of achievement, but it's like, damn, how'd you go from that to this? Like, you literally stood in front of people for 2 years and said, God is real. Here's why. Read this Bible verse, whatever. And for me to now be even questioning whether I even understood what I was talking about now, it makes me feel cautious of like, was I even speaking from a place of truth and understanding? Like, what was I even leading people towards? Like, how authentic were the words that I was saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What was I going off? You know, starting to question the words I've said, the discussions I've had, things I've even said on this podcast, the God that I've professed I understand to a good extent. It's like, what do I have a hold of anymore? It's like, I just don't know. So when I say the title, Considering God, it does kind of reflect the fact that I do keep thinking about God as like a very tangible presence now, probably more tangible than ever. And I think that tangibility has made me even more comfortable in questioning without necessarily feeling bad for questioning, but still at the back of my mind, knowing that he isn't really going anywhere in my life. Having this desire to just kind of get lost so that I can understand what it means to be found.
Mm-hmm.
Having this frustration that I can't be the person that I want to be with because there's differences in faith that have been so ingrained in me, not just through religion but also through culture. It's like religion has been my culture this whole time. Like, you cannot date someone who's a Muslim. You can't do that. You just can't. So even though I want to, and I'm in this place where I'm actually open to exploring things outside of my faith or like behaviors outside of my faith because I don't even know what's going on with God right now, I can't even do that because at the back of my mind, there's something telling me this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. I'd rather shut that voice up by ending things with this person than keep going forward as if...
As if you can't hear that voice in your head saying, stop.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been a really painful, like, I don't know, 10 months. I still don't know, obviously, like, what the future holds for me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I'll get back to the course eventually. I don't even think I've strayed that far. I don't think that I can even go that far because we do still have to put value in our upbringing. We all have things that were taught to us as law, as children, that we can never really let go of.
Yeah.
And mine is Christianity, I guess. And I guess I am grateful for that stability. And like I said earlier, when I found out the Queen died, I said, well, I still got to get out of this.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God for Jesus.
I know.
You know what I mean? And these things will have you running back to the cross. Heartbreak will have you running back to the cross after crying tears and being sad. It'll be like, God, I worship you. Thank you. Thank you for wiping my tears.
So
it's a weird relationship I have with God now. It's a weird battle. But I still feel like I understand where I am in my faith now. And I don't know if I've ever understood where I am in my faith as much in the past as I do now, if that makes any sense.
Do you know what? For me, it just sounds like you building an awareness. You know, it's so easy to be an unaware Christian. You're unaware of where you are with God. You're unaware of how your relationship with God is going. You just do the thing. You know, it's like doing church without God. Or doing... It's very... You know, people do Christianity without God.
Yeah.
They don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. They don't know God. And they just do... They go through the motions.
Hmm.
And I think sometimes God will awaken you to be like, what's actually going on?
Hmm.
And that sometimes feels like the process you're going through now of like, I need to get lost because I don't... I don't feel found right now. Because I don't understand. I'm in confusion.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about certain things. I don't know why I do certain things. Even what you said, like, where was... You know, I was teaching in TRF, but where was I getting that from?
Hmm.
What well was I drawing from?
I just don't understand.
So it's like a process of awakening, like, you know, going back to the drawing board and being like, so why do I actually believe what I believe? And I honestly think that once you come out of this season, you're going to definitely be better for it. And it's going to produce like a maturity within you because you know your why.
Yeah.
And I think that loads of Christians are struggling and continue to struggle because what they do is they get these feelings and they shut them off.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm not going to open that door because I'm saved.
Exactly. It's like it's a bad thing. It's like I've been told to cast down.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is an enemy rising among me.
Yeah. I need to go further. Into
get behind me, Satan.
Exactly.
Do you got what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that being willing to be honest, you know, people, you need to be honest with yourself and honest with your journey and honest with where you are.
Yeah.
And I think speaking to people about it and staying connected and staying under discipleship, like those are all the right tools to getting to a means to an end that you desire. And yeah, I think you're definitely going to be better for it. And also what you were saying about the whole thing of like dating outside of faith and all of that, like I can totally relate to that. And I honestly think that you will never feel like settled by it, because I didn't. I felt like, oh my God, Joyce, what are you doing? And what made it worse is it's never the strong believers in those other phases. It's always the ones that are like, yeah, I don't really practice, or you know, I'm just trying to explore other things. And because I feel like if someone was like so invested in their faith, it would kind of be like something that you wouldn't get into anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the truth is that like there is always a cost, and sometimes you're not able to do what you feel like doing because the easy thing to do is not always the right thing to do. Sometimes it's easy to just fall in love and just run away with 100%. The fairies and stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's right. And just because it's nice today, is it going to be nice in 10 years?
No.
I always think like this. So I can totally relate to what you're saying, honestly. But I do think it boils down to this thing of, I remember, when was it? It was sometime in the pandemic. And I just had this reoccurring thought of, what camp do you want to belong to? Mm. Where do you want to belong? Like, whom are you going to pledge allegiance to? Like, sometimes we're just too much in the muddy waters of grayness. And I was just fed up of being in that. You know, it's like how they talk about being lukewarm and all of that.
Yeah.
I was just like, I need to pick a camp. And I need to act and live a lifestyle of whatever camp I'm picking.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do one foot in, one foot out, this, that, the other. Like, it's just exhausting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely think that you should view whatever, even though it doesn't feel fun. And the annoying thing to it's not like there's an end date. It's not like you're like, on January the 31st, I will not feel like this.
Oh, if only. I think with those things, maybe in hindsight, people say one day I woke up and I just didn't feel sad anymore. One day I woke up and I felt a bit more found, you know, like yeah. realize in hindsight the day that things started to feel just like 1% clearer.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've had that day. I've had moments of clarity, moments of like really, really good, and also moments of, this is literally getting worse.
The pressure is getting worse.
It's just getting worse. My mom's asking me when I'm going to church. I was like, oh, girl, I'm going.
Yeah.
or things like that, you know. But
do you know what? I really feel like there's a beauty in remaining faithful when you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Do you got what I mean?
Yeah.
What's the point of saying that we're Christians when we just do Christianity when we feel like everything is going our way or everything? If you really love me and you say that you love me,
yeah,
you will still be in relationship with me even if you feel like, oh, things are not really going the way I want. And I always say, like, the second you stop dialogue, the second you stop communication,
yeah,
that's when... Now it's a state of emergency. And I'm sure that there's people that are listening that'll be like, oh, I feel like I'm in that position or whatever. But you can always
listen. Like, you can literally speak to God right now. I'll even give you a chance. Say hi, God.
Hi, Jesus.
There you are. It's that simple. And I have had days where I've, like, probably even weeks in the past year or so that I've gone without praying, without reading my Bible. Without even wanting to do anything to do with God, just not caring at all. Bashment will come right after Kirk Franklin. It will. And they will do.
And I definitely know
they will alternate, and I don't even do it for fun. Like, I just. I don't care.
I hear you.
But even sometimes thinking about God or Him passing your mind or just passing a comment in the direction of God. Mm. Sometimes if that's the best communication you can do, then so be it. And if you even do, I guess I'm also speaking to myself, but if you even sometimes feel like you're too far from God, that's fine, because He's still close to you.
Yeah.
Like, you've got...
And it's not a surprise to Him. Like, some people be like, oh my God, I didn't do it. This is not a surprise to God. Like, He knew this was coming. He knows this is coming. Yeah. And I think that there's like some comfort that you can draw from. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is... This too shall pass.
Yeah. And it's a very common feeling as well. Like, people, a lot of us, maybe, I don't even want to say a lot of us our age, but I guess I can say that because that's how old we are. But a lot of us our age are going through this question of, like, who is God? What is God? Do I want to believe? There are so many things that you hear against God's existence and against His sovereignty and against His truth that makes you wonder whether what you believe in is just some form of indoctrination, if to some extent. Like, have I been indoctrinated? Is that why it's so hard for me to, like, get out, if you get what I mean? And what is it that I believe in, this person or these things I'm doing, bring me so much joy? To take heed to God feels like deprivation, you know. That's something I've been struggling with as well. It's like, why can't I just have what I want? Why does it have to be the fact that what I want isn't what God wants, so I can't have it? You know, when I just about care for God in the first place. Isn't when things ended, I literally felt like, I always use this analogy. I was like, I felt like I had to throw away. I was told to throw away all the rice in my house because I needed to fill my house with pasta. And I did it, but I don't even like pasta.
Yeah.
I hate pasta. Right now, I hate pasta. I want to eat rice. But they've been saying, throw all the rice away. You have to. So I threw the rice away. And I've got a load of pasta in my house. I don't even like pasta. Mm-hmm. I might even be allergic to it at this point. But I've just been told that that's what I need.
Yeah.
And that's in my house. I'm not even eating it anyway. So just me and God sit in the room. Yeah. Okay, I said bye to Him. Are you happy now? Okay, now it's just me and God.
And the truth is, that's the Christian life.
Yeah.
Like, relinquishing. It's a process of relinquishing control. Because I said, I've given you my life so that you can live through me. So no longer my desires. But we don't, we say it in church, it sounds good and everything, but to live that through is not fun. So no longer my desires looks like I can't actually, like, entertain a serious relationship with this guy that's so happens to be a Muslim, because I gave my life away.
And you have to actually consider at some point, do I still want my life?
I want my life back now.
Do I want my life?
Give me my life back.
And some people say, yes, I do. And God will give it back to you, and you'll take it and you can go.
Yeah.
That's what we call free will, isn't it? That's why we say God's never going to force you to do anything or force you to love Him.
No.
It's very, what's the word to use? It's very intentional, which is the word we're saying a lot today. Yeah. Like you choose this life. Like it's not going to be easy. Yeah. It's so hard to the fact that people question, why are you torturing yourself? Yeah. Because it looks like torture whenever you complain about, oh, it's not the will of God, so I shouldn't do it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It does sometimes make you question, like, why am I giving up so much?
When okay. things it feels like a journey of giving up too much.
Yeah, it feels like a journey of giving up a lot. It feels like a journey of restriction. It feels like a journey of deprivation as well. You know, when you can find instant joy in things outside of your faith, and then everything with your faith just feels mundane. It's like, well, I can feel things right now and yeah. I don't feel joy in this, so why don't I feel joy in the thing that I know is true? To some extent, I was even thinking at some point, like, the only thing I have evidence of is me right now, the breath that I'm breathing, the life that I have, the sensations I'm feeling. Mm. I don't even have evidence of God, so why not just enjoy? That's what I said to myself. I said, wait a second.
I don't know if this man is. Like,
I don't know who that man is.
But do you know what? I don't want to leave this conversation without
yeah.
highlighting the spiritual element of all of this.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, the truth is that we don't fight against flesh and blood,
mm-hmm.
but principalities and high places, whatever the scripture says. And so in everything that we're discussing and everything that we're feeling, there is a spiritual element to it.
Mm.
And the truth is that the best thing the enemy can do is make you feel like there's more life outside of God yeah. than there is in.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Because in fact, that's just what he spends the whole day doing. Convincing people.
9 to 5
and he's doing overtime. Convincing people that there's more life outside of Christ. And then so you start to actually feel like that, and you feel like, I feel more joyful like this. And then you turn that joy into like, oh, actually I feel more peaceful, or actually I feel more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just getting what, you know, more and more intense. And you're like, no, that's the authentic me, that's the real me actually yeah. up. Whereas like, whatever you give your time and attention to, and whatever, you know, and even like praying about the spiritual element of what you're going through and what's happening. But yeah, it doesn't remove the fact that you still, and I think that, you know, a lot of Christians say that, oh, we shouldn't focus on feelings, but God does care about your feelings.
He cares.
And it's taken into consideration, you know, he doesn't just ignore your feelings, but like, well, she's on the verge, but it's not like that.
Yeah, I think anything you can express to God, which is anything, God mm-hmm. cares about it, you know. He cares about the fact that you're brokenhearted. He cares about the fact that you don't understand him. He cares about the fact that you might not even want to be around him anymore, you know.
Yeah.
Like, one thing that I've taken out of this process I'm going through is feeling more comfortable with God than I ever have in my life.
Mm.
Like, I'm not scared that God is going to kill me because I said I don't feel like talking to you today. Like,
yeah, not at all.
Or because I'm behaving like that. I don't feel scared yeah. that God is going to turn his back on me because I haven't prayed for a week. Like, I don't feel that fear. I feel more comfortable, and I feel a deeper relationship with God than I ever have in my life.
Yeah.
So I guess in the loss of understanding that I have experienced in the past,
there's like a closeness.
There's there. A closeness. I have yeah. greater proximity to God, a greater comfort with God, a greater what's it called? I feel more comfortable talking to him about how I feel as casually as I want, without feeling like I'm about to get struck down because it was too disrespectful, when I should have reverence and whatever. Like, obviously I should, but like, I don't feel like the moments when I outburst, I'm about to lose my life.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff right there.
Oof. It's intense, guys.
Yeah, it is. And I was saying to Defla before we came on air that, like, at the beginning of the year, I like to do this thing whereby, like, I just pray about the year and the theme of the year. I'm sure Lizzie will do this as well. And so I felt like the theme was process. And my God, have I been processed. Guys, I finished law school, praise God.
Hallelujah.
I handed in my papers and I'm still waiting for my results and stuff. But I think when I thought about process, I thought it would kind of be mainly in the element of, like, progressing and being processed in terms of, like, my law school journey and stuff, which definitely was the case. But it was just being processed in life, like the amount of sacrifices I had to take in terms of my social life. It definitely took a hit, mm-hmm. like not having time to do a lot of the things I wanted to do, and delayed gratification, and it feels like exhausting. But I think in the stretching and the processing, it's just for my betterment.
Yeah.
And at the time, it doesn't feel good because it's like, I don't want to do this right now, and I'm really exhausted and tired and I want to give up. And why did I even, I had that thought of why did I even do this to myself?
Yeah.
But the outcome is going to be great and it's going to be amazing. And I was listening to someone speaking about, we're always like asking or wanting to be in the presence of God, or like, God, you know, I want your presence. I want to know you more. But the person flips and said, like, do you give God your presence? Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, like, wow, how many times, like, you know, I might pray and read my word or whatever, but actually being intentional about giving God my presence and turning up and showing up and being available, and not just sometimes prayer life can just be like rambling on and on and on, mm-hmm. but trying to listen and trying to hear.
Mm.
And so, yeah, those have kind of been like light bulb moments for me.
Yeah. When you say giving God your presence, do you mean things like meditation as well?
Yeah.
Mm.
And time, you know, like it might not even just be like in praying, but in serving.
Mm.
Oh my God, I've been feeling so bad about serving. How could we be at church and one of our pastors said, put your hand up if you haven't been on this team. Remember, were you there? I don't think you were there. Adephala is chronically late to church.
Oh, please.
Right? We need to take that to the cross, because I am chronically late as well. Like, I'd be like,
I just find Sunday mornings,
I'd be so like 10 minutes before Adephala, but we both be late.
It's tough.
Yeah, I feel like serving is good, because
yeah.
It gives you like a sense of purpose.
Mm.
So yeah, I do want to start serving at some point.
There's just so many things that we're giving like advice about, in terms of, if you feel far from God, here's what you can do. If you feel lost, here's what you can do, whatever, whatever. And it's like, we know them as facts, but to take them into practice is like 10 times harder.
Yeah,
and I agree. Then that's a lot. That's where I stop. Like, I know what I should do theoretically, but to actually do it is going to require so much effort that I'm literally just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And as humans, we always know what's best, but we just never actually do it. But I think that's why it's good that we serve a God that's patient throughout all of our trials and all of our like going away from him and coming back to the cross and, you know, making all these empty promises towards him. He's like, he's like eternally gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's never, ever going to stop being gracious. And that's the one thing that we can't get from anything else in this whole universe, like eternal grace. And even if something was giving you eternal grace, it's bound to perish at some point.
Yeah.
And God's still going to be sticking around.
Yeah.
So.
It's true.
That's that.
Well, yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you can interact with us, guys. Let us know what you think about what we just spoke about in the comments and DM us and all of that jazz. We actually want to do more like dilemma scenarios. I think it'll be interesting. So send us your dilemmas.
We've only done one episode like that.
Yeah. So that we definitely should do another one.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Mm. Do you have a current fave?
Do you know, I was just thinking of it and I was like, tell us your current fave.
Do I have a current fave? Oof, I asked you if I have an answer. Let me go to my song library.
No, but we might as well call it Song of the Week. At this point, it is Song of the Week.
Let's see. I've been loving this song by Cranium. I don't know.
Cranium. Wow, so
it's
random.
It's called Girl Policy. It came up.
Oh, I love that song.
I love Girl. Literally, I rediscovered it like a month ago.
After 9 o'clock, you can call me. Ooh, after me, now you get.
No, the way I play that as I enter my office.
Wow, it's hilarious.
I've been loving Girl Policy recently, so that's my current fave.
My current fave is a song I've been listening to a lot, which is Right Here by SWV.
Oh,
I feel like it's a classic.
The Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it when they say SWV. No, it's really good. I love that song. I love I'm a sucker for an old school vibe.
Yeah.
I recently rewatched my favorite movie maybe for the 20th time, Brown Sugar.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie. And so, yeah, I just love that old school vibes. It's totally me. Like, I'm that girl that rewatches all the 90s black movies.
I know you love them.
Because I absolutely love them.
I was going to say, have you seen, I know you have, the answer is yes, but I think the weirdest black movie that I just don't like is How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Oh.
I think we've spoken about it before, but I think that whole Taye Diggs
in
Jamaica, 20-year-old.
It was weird.
It was eternally strange. Like, I just don't understand.
It's the fact that we all pretended like it was normal.
It was just weird.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was really weird.
It's very weird. But my favorite movie is always going to be Dreamgirls. I was actually watching Dreamgirls clips yesterday.
We are Dreamgirls. Dreamgirls.
It's such an amazing film.
No, it's a really good film.
So, so, so good.
I love the song where they sing, we are a family.
We are a family,
like
yeah,
a
yeah.
Giant tree.
And Eddie Murphy as well in that movie.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
No, it's really, really good. And Jennifer Hudson was really good.
Something else I was loving recently is Indian Matchmaking. Do you watch that on Netflix?
I love that. I watch it. Yeah, me and my mom watch it.
Season 2 was really good. I think compared to last, you know how last season they had the two, like, pushing 40 women who just never found love.
Pushing 40.
So we had Aparna and Nadia from last season. They were in the season 2.
Yeah.
And then this season we had, I forgot their names already, Viral and another one beginning with, I think, Chital, basically.
Yeah.
So the two struggling women from this season both found love by the end.
Yeah,
but the two from last season who hadn't found love last season came to this season and sadly they didn't find love again. I thought that was really sad.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, do you ever think you'd do matchmaking?
Hmm.
Arranged matchmaking to the point of basically an arranged marriage.
I feel like with Indian Matchmaker, it's like the parents have like
yeah.
a real influence in it.
I hate that.
And I wouldn't like that. But I do think that like what I've noticed with oh, what's the lady called? The matchmaker lady?
Seema Auntie.
With Seema Auntie, I feel like she's very like, she was always like, oh, you're only going to get like 60% of what you've asked for. And a lot of people obviously want more than 60. And she only will show you like one profile at a time. And so her process seems a bit like rigid. But I'm not like so against the idea of being, I feel like I would like it to be more like, a friend likes like, oh, you know, I know a guy, blah, blah, like.
Yeah, like more natural, basically.
I can't lie to you, Defon. I don't think I could.
Yeah,
imagine you both come in on the date knowing that she recommended you and then like, it's just like it lacks that organic.
Yeah, but I think that's the nature of arranged marriages. That's how they would be. Like there's little segments.
Oh, no, I meant more like just being matchmates on a date, like not an arranged marriage.
I think something that I've always never been able to get my head around, especially with, like dating apps, is just someone knowing that I'm looking for something. It makes me feel so embarrassed.
Yeah, it's a bit.
It's like, so you know I'm looking for love because I don't have it in my life.
You can never say that line of, I didn't even want, I was just minding my business and like, you came and interrupted me. He's like, no, you were searching.
You were looking for someone.
Single and searching.
Only for someone that you might even know to see your profile. Oh my God.
The worst is, and I say this with Pinterest because I do want people to find love and like, it's hard out here to find nice, normal Christian guys, yeah? And I use the normal is in bold underline and italics. But yeah, these single Christian events, I don't care if I'm 40. Carry me there, go to my husband's house.
Yeah,
it's awkward.
It's just the knowing,
because we all know why we're here.
It's the knowing, like everyone is here for a reason. So everyone's eyes are shining super bright right now.
I don't think guys even go to stuff like that. I'll be so honest with you.
And the guys that
do you know,
go,
the Christian guys, you know, do they go to like Christian single events?
No,
exactly.
And none of them would.
And not I will that, say a lot of like,
I don't know what they do behind closed doors, but as far as I know,
a lot of them are in relationships. To be fair,
yeah. But like, what's the guarantee that it's going to work out with somebody just because they're of the same faith as you?
100%. Like, you know, and that it can't be the only, I always say this to people, you can't just be like, oh, he's a believer and that's why it's just going to be a match made in heaven. But with the whole, like, it depends why you're getting into relationships. Well, if you're getting in a relationship to ultimately get married, you guys want to have an aligned vision, one house and a God, you know? So, being in another, someone being of another faith is just going to really complicate things.
Yeah.
And I think it's an indicator of where you are in your faith journey.
What exactly?
Being willing to get into covenant with somebody that is not of your faith.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why I was where I was.
But you stopped yourself, girl. You said, this ain't me.
It's really hard though. Like, it's definitely like, it definitely goes back to feeling like you're depriving yourself of something and wondering, oh, what the hell, like, God, stop, let me just live my life. I like this person. The only issue I have is there's a difference in belief, basically. But when you're questioning exactly what you believe, it makes it even harder to make the decision of, well, is it worth ending it? Because I don't even know what I've who I am right now.
Yeah.
You know, but on the flip side of it, I do think it's good to like not pull somebody into your life when you're experiencing that much confusion and uncertainty.
Yeah, because they have to go on now that roller coaster with you.
Yeah, you know, taking them up and down for the ride. And it's like, and one thing I also realize is that nobody should have to be like eventually decided upon. Like, I get sometimes we make love too like fluffy and romantic, and I knew when I first saw you, blah blah blah.
When I first saw you, you know? I said, "Oh my, that's my dream."
Exactly. Like, everybody wants that, but there is a more practical side of love as well. And I don't know. I just feel like I put myself in the position of the other person, and I'm like, I wouldn't really like it if I had to hope that you were going to be certain about me. Despite these differences that you've expressed you have an issue with. I just feel like I don't think it's good to waste people's time like that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want someone to have to decide, okay, I can do it. Let's go on this date. Come on.
No.
I don't think that's right. So I think it's also like a respect for people's time, respect for their energy. Because when you are dating somebody, you're investing a lot of time, money, energy into this person. And for you to know that in the end, it might not really bode well. I don't think it's right to just carry on, as painful as it may be. But I do also understand that people are in your life for a season, and that's something I try to think about. Like, maybe it was only meant to be a certain amount of time.
Maybe
not make it any longer just because, I don't know. So yeah,
honestly. But yeah, guys, that's been our latest episode, because I won't lie to you that I know the number. But yeah, guys, we hope you enjoyed it. And yeah, we'll see you in the next episode.
Yeah, I have been Adefala.
And it's been your girl Joyce.
Speak to you guys next time.